Welcome to Toilets and Titles, Down Under the Dynasty. Here I am, as usual, your host, At Life from the Ben. With me, my co-host, At FF Doormat. And here again, for the third consecutive week, At Mark Bull is here. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing wonderfully well, mate.
Fully?
Yeah, staying sane. Still in lockdown, but getting out soon, hopefully.
Hopefully. Countdown. I had a bit of a dodgy week. I had a bit of a back spasm. I'm on about 600 drugs. So I'm probably going to make less sense than I normally do. But, you know, you probably won't ever notice a difference, guys.
You still look sexy, Matt.
That's the main thing, mate.
It's all right.
That's what's important.
Josh Gordon put up 1,600 yards on a heap of drugs, didn't he?
True. Just call me Flash.
So.
Yeah, no, football's back, so that's been good. We had a full week to look at.
Yeah, week one of the NFL season is in the books, and we can already see players' fantasy value, dynasty value shifting, moving, evolving, right? So, guys, what were your takeaways from week one? I don't know. I'm sure I haven't had a chance to watch all the games yet, and I'm only able to watch most of them because of the whole NFL Game Pass 40 in, you know, watch them in 40 minutes. I'm not one of those... you know, hardcore film guys. I'm not pretending to be anything like that. I just try to watch as much as I can, but I haven't got a chance to watch them all yet. But what are your week one takeaways, Matt? What games did you get an opportunity to really watch? And
I watched the Patriots game. Obviously, that was pretty good game, bad result. I thought, you know, the sides were pretty even. Probably, you know, we lost the turnover battle. We probably deserved to lose, but we could have won it. But that was a good game. Hats off to Miami. They were too good. But Mac Jones looked really good. I thought he was great, considering the receivers that we have. So, you know, wheels up for Mac Jones. And I think Jalen Hurts, too, I liked what they were doing at Philly. I know it was versus Atlanta, but just the way they were using him, you know, it was very smart. Didn't ask him to do too much with the ball, really. Just needed to do what he did. It was pretty safe, a lot of, you know, just short passes, you know, and read options. Look, they did really well. Interesting to see how they go this week. I think they're playing the 49ers, right? I think that's who they're playing. But yeah, I think they played him really smartly, so happy with that. And then Aaron Rodgers too. He looked it looked terrible. You know, you've seen all those memes going around, which is hilarious. Some great stuff there. So it looked pretty ordinary. I think that's just he had a bad game. I think he was playing the Saints, and hopefully he bounces back. Stud, he's going to be a QB1, I think, the dip, hopefully, and he's back to his...
Look, Rodgers looks a bit sickly. He looks very, very gaunt, etc. I'm a bit worried, mate.
Yeah, he didn't look good, did he? He didn't look good, too, yeah.
He looks slight. He was enjoying his off-season. Hasn't been hitting the weights. Only got to training camp in July. He doesn't, you know, a bit worried, but... You know, it is Aaron Rodgers. Man deserves the benefit of the doubt, right?
R-E-L-A-X, right?
Relax.
Yeah, look, I think he'll be fine, but he did look a shell of him. Let's give him another go, he goes.
Bully, how about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, there was plenty for me to like and not like in week one. I'm pretty heavily invested into this rookie class. The wide receivers were good. I think without Terrace Marshall flashing, the others all stood up. The running backs were a little bit less to get excited about. Najee, I think he had 16 carries for 40-something yards, but the volume is there. So if that line can get itself together with that sort of volume, we're looking at an RB1. I think you guys both were subjected to my rants on that Monday night game. Or that Monday morning game, watching Derek Carr eventually discover that he had a wide receiver rather than just throwing to the fullback and Darren Waller.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Edwards was good there in the towards the end of that game. I don't think he had a catch until the last quarter though, and then the rest
he
came
gave
in
a
overtime.
Target in the last quarter.
Yeah, no, sorry, yeah, that's what I meant. Target.
There's a couple of pitches going around too. I don't know if you guys seen them of Ruggs. Sort of wide open, he's clearly beaten the one safety, and he doesn't even get a look in. So, a little bit disappointing there. I'm with you, Bully.
I thought watching the game, Ruggs looked good. Just watching him, you know, on his routes and stuff. It looked to me like, you know, like Matt said, there were times he was getting open, etc. And he made a couple of promising plays. I think there was one promising play towards the late in the game. Yeah. I just think Derek Carr's got to look for him more. I mean, Waller can't get 19 targets every week, can he?
Yeah, well, that's not sustainable. I mean, he probably will. It's not sustainable to win, right?
I think going into the third quarter, or at one point in the third quarter, Ingold, the fullback, had more targets than any wide receiver on the team. Like, you know, it's I think Gruden has to take some responsibility for the fact that he's drafted two wide receivers that many people thought were going to be good, and they're just not on the field. You know, it's not just that Derek Carr's not targeting them; it's that they're not on the field. And
they had like over 50 snaps with two tight ends on the field.
You know, I think they also had. I think there was a dozen snaps running three tight ends as well. Like, I can't think of the last time we saw a team run three tight ends as much as that. Like,
yeah, but look, it'd be good to see what they do this week versus Steelers. You know, that's they're going to get found out a little bit if they try and do that same thing. But, you know, he's obviously a mismatch, isn't he? I guess why wouldn't you target him 19 times?
But so is Ruggs' speed. Like, he was there were, like you said, there were times he was getting behind the defense and Carr just did not let it rip.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Mariota's injured too, right? I think he's out for a few weeks. Not that he was ever going to take the job, I think. Obviously,
yeah, he's on IR now.
Yeah, he's a bit disappointing, but anyway. Look, they got the win, right? So happy days for Fredo Bandito.
Hey, and he's right here in the chat just popping off about the Raiders. hey, look, to me, Mr. Gonzalez, I think it's positive for the Raiders that they were able to take that win and maybe didn't utilize their wide receivers to the full of their ability. I think that's promising for the offense, right? If anything, if they can actually review the tape and say, you know, our wide receivers had these opportunities and we didn't capitalize, it's only a good thing. It only means there's room for improvement. For me, the big takeaway from week one is talk of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase not being good for fantasy football this year. The talk of their demise was way too premature. There was a lot of talk, you know, there was that talk in the off-season that Burrow was taking that time, didn't have the confidence in the knee and the Chase drops. And then they come out week one against a Vikings defense, which is should be a lot better than last season, right? At least the middle of the pack defense, if not hopefully top 10. But Burrow looked fantastic. Chase looked fantastic. T. Higgins looked fantastic. I think those three for fantasy are going to be everything that, you know, we thought they would be, maybe in future seasons. They all looked really, really good. Mixon, he's got a shot to be RB1 overall.
You didn't hear any of that here, did you? We never doubted Chase. I think one of our predictions was that he'd be fine this year. A stud, so that was really good. But yeah, no, it was good to see. We've got tons of Mixon shares, so it's finally good to see him get a good game. Hopefully he sustains it.
Yeah, I had Smith as 1A, Chase as 1B. And I think watching week one, yes, Smith went up against the Falcons, but I'm taking a lot of confidence out of Smith's box score more than Chase, who picked up, I think, 60-odd yards of his 105 in one play. I think what you saw from Devontae on the weekend is probably his floor more than his ceiling, whereas I don't know how much higher Chase's ceiling is at the moment with those other weapons in that offense. I think we saw, like, it swings and roundabouts between him and Mike Evans. Mike Evans, you know, had a fingertip pass, knock away a 70-yard reception, and Chase had a 60-yard reception to give him 100-yard game. That's the only part that was concerning for me, but all the talk of drops and no connection and everything else, I think we've seen that they were overstated.
Yeah, but look, he still had 7 targets. I think that's the same amount of targets as Smith got. And look, it's easy to say that 6 for 70. Well, that was his game, right? It was about 6 receptions, 71 yards and a touchdown, I think. It's easy to say that's his flaw, but that Atlanta defense is not good, mate.
Yeah.
Right. So he's gonna have matchups where he just gets taken out of the game.
But you also look at that game, and that game script fell away from that passing offense as well. The Eagles aren't going to blow teams out by 30 every week either. Kenneth Gainwell, I think, had 10 carries. Boy, Kenneth Gainwell had 9 carries or 10 carries. I can't see too many scenarios where the Eagles RB3 gets
Jalen Hurts threw 35 times for 260 yards. That's probably his ceiling as far as attempts and yards most weeks, right? I don't think the Eagles are going to want him passing more than that. Would you? I mean, you're a big Hurts fan, Matt. I mean, you would agree with that, right? I mean,
he's certainly not going to pass for 58 times in a game like Dak Prescott is. I think they give him some simple little outs, some swing passes, and keeping it pretty close to the line of scrimmage. But yeah, look, I think that's correct, and I think they're probably a little bit unlucky that he didn't have an even bigger day. Really, they dominated everywhere, the Eagles. Yeah. But let's see how they go against the 49ers.
But going back to the Bengals, super impressed.
Winston was good too. Winston was really really impressive too. I think that was one of my hot takes. I had him as a QB1 for the year, so he's probably going to throw 5 picks now. But you'd love to see someone who's been through so much adversity and a lot of, you know, David Carr bagging him on NFL Network and a few other things, and it's good to see him come out and perform Week 1.
Yeah, I was really happy for Winston after everything he's gone through to come out and have that kind of performance. I don't think the combination of him and Arians was really a good one. I think Arians probably, like the way he wants to play, Winston already played enough that way. He probably needed somebody to bring him back a bit. Whereas with the Brady Arians combination works because Brady's pulling back on Arians a little bit, you know. Brady's actually reining in Arians as far as just throwing the ball, whereas that combination of Winston and Arians just didn't work. But with Peyton, it was really, really encouraging to see, and just really happy for Jameis after everything that he's gone through.
What are you guys doing with him if you own him?
Look, I think you need a couple more solid performances. Before you get anything that you'd, before you get what you'd want for him, but I'm holding, mate. I think that he's legit, and I'm really excited to see his evolution in the New Orleans offense. Sorry, Matt.
No, Matt, you finish off.
I was going to say, I think he's going to be the long term starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I have him as QB1, obviously, at the start of the year. So, if I get that return, I'm selling him. But if it's a super flex, I probably want a QB back and a good offer, really. I wouldn't be looking to move him now. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens when Michael Thomas comes back. If he comes back, you know, maybe he goes to another level again. I'm not saying he's going to score 40 points every game, right? But, there's still a bit of, he's got a couple of wide receivers coming back, add to his value.
And that Green Bay defense, I mean... Preston Smith is hurt. He didn't play much, but last year it was a good defense. I can't tell you, if they played well or great. Obviously, they didn't play great last week, but I mean, they've got some good players on that defense, and he played really well against them. So, got to take your hat off to him, right? That's all you can do. One guy I probably won't take my hat off to is Jared Goff. Probably had the worst 300-yard, 3-touchdown game I've ever seen in my life. I watched that whole game just because I wanted to see Swift and Hockenson, and Like Goff was just so unimpressive for 3 quarters, and then the third quarter he threw the ball like 25 times or something ridiculous, and ended up having a 300-yard 3-touchdown game. But now I'm starting to think, like, is that something that could happen with the Lions quite a few weeks, that you're going to see these that excessive amount of garbage time where they just fill up the stat sheet?
That's pretty
much what happened, right? Look, I watched the end of that game. I didn't watch the start of it. I think it was on Game Pass or something. And it was they scored 3 times, right, in the last 10 minutes, whatever. I think the 49ers just sat back and just let him throw where everyone throw, make their short throw. So, yeah, look, I didn't really pick up on that. That's a good point. But, you know, maybe that's something you can factor in that they're probably going to be behind in a lot of games, right? And the teams are probably going to give them a soft defense. So that's a little
I'll be honest. I didn't think Goff would have a 300-yard, three-touchdown game this season. And he came out in his first game and did it. It was, you know, it was an unimpressive 300 yards and three touchdowns because it kind of felt, you know, like he was able to do it when the pressure was off. And I mean, that's probably always been a bit of a thing with Goff, right?
Yeah.
But Hockenson and the wide receivers, when they had a more normal game script in the first half, were not getting any targets at all. It was all going to Swift, Hockenson, Williams, those guys were getting all the targets in the first half with the more normal game script.
I think
Hockenson got 10 targets, but 7 of those were in the first half. Swift got 11 targets, but 8 of those were in the first half when the game script was more normal. So I think that's really indicative that those guys are going to be the main weapons in the passing game.
Yeah, well, all three of those players, Williams, Hock, and Swift, all saw career highs in targets. Which it's less impressive when you think Swift's only really been the starter there for not even a full season. But for Hock and Williams that have been around a while now, for them to receive a career high in targets with Goff, it's an interesting scenario.
Be flawed if he hasn't had 10 targets in a game before, at least once, Hockenson. But I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, Billy. I'm not going to go search for it. But
his rookie game, he went off, right, in his first ever game.
Yeah, he went off in his first game.
I don't know how many targets he had, but...
Yeah, because I think there was... It was either targets or receptions, because there was one tweet this morning where it was a list of players that saw a career high in targets or receptions, and it was those three, Debo, Rager, and a couple of others that stood out last week. So might have even been Edwards or something like that.
I'm pretty big on Brandon Ayuk. I have him rated quite highly. Do you think it's time to panic?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, really?
Panic and sell him to me, mate. I'll give you a second for him. Chuck in a third.
Yeah.
Dante Pettis.
I'm not worried about Brandon Ayuk. He looked too good last year. And then it came out. He's not in the sermon boat where he was outperformed. I think he was truly hurt. So I'm not too concerned. I think overreaction theatre here by Mark Bull.
It's not a matter that he was behind Trent Sherfield. It's a matter that Kyle Shanahan, straight after the game, came out and said, we started Sherfield over him.
In the week, he came out and said that Ayuk was hurt. He was unable to practice.
I've got no proof or insider knowledge of any of this. It's just a doormat theory. But I think for him and Sermon, it was just Shanahan trying to put a bit of a rocket up them, leave them out week one, bit of extra motivation. I think they'll sort of start to find their way back in a team and take over as RB1s and wide receiver 1-1A.
I just think they're an organization that doesn't care about draft capital. They don't care about draft capital. They will literally, you know, they're the Patriots, unfortunately, where they will start whoever they want to start. And you've seen that with that backfield. It's literally one running back will go on a tear for one or two games. He'll get injured. The next running back will step in and he'll start for 2 weeks. Then he'll get injured. Then the next one will start. And then Jeff Wilson will come off the pup and then he'll start.
Yeah, but running backs and wide receiver, it's a different kettle of fish, mate, because you're only handing the ball to one running back. You know, generally only one running back is on the field at a time. A lot of the time you're in three wide receiver sets, two wide receiver sets. Dante Pettis and Carl Shanahan were like water and oil. You haven't heard any of that stuff around Brandon Ayuk.
But we did last week. We had Kyle Shanahan come out literally at a press conference and say he was outperformed by Trent Sherfield in training camp and preseason. We're starting Trent Sherfield. We're starting the better player. Like for me,
I don't know if that's really
Like, I had doubts about Ayuk last season. Like, when you look at the games he performed without Debo, without Kittle, and without a starting running back. Like, that, when he performed last year, he was performing in a decimated offense. Now that that offense has Kittle, Debo, more running back help, like, there were enough things that I was out on him before this season.
I think with Bully, this is just a case of confirmation bias. All right. I think we're just getting confirmation bias from Bully. Bully, move on, mate. Move on. All right. How long till Trey Lance takes over for Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, if they're trotting him out now if they're confident enough to trot him out now in the end zone, right? And throw touchdown passes. I can't see it being very long until he takes over between the 20s, right? And he's the man.
I haven't seen their draw. I'd like to see their draw.
They've got,
you know, Eagles. His first pass was a touchdown pass, right? So it was a pretty simple pass, but good start.
But he's still.
I can't see it. I think they just, you know, game script dependent. They'll just start giving him a few reps and bring him in slowly. I really hope they do bring him in early, just because I've got so many shares. I think.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
How about Arizona versus Tennessee? Kyler Murray was just legit, too legit to quit. How about Derrick Henry? Is it panic stations on Derrick Henry?
RELAX, fellas, don't panic yet. We've got to see it for a couple of games. Right. I'm not panicking over anything. I'm panicking over my Kyler Murray call. I sort of thought that defenses would work him out a little bit. And he looks like he's blown that away week one. So let's see how he goes the rest of the season. Obviously, he's still going to be an absolute stud, but I just thought he'd come back a bit to the pack, similar to what Lamar did. But he pointed out in the offseason that when he started the struggle, it was because of he was injured. So maybe that's a miss for me there. But yeah, Derrick Henry, surely they're going to start. They're going to be in a lot more games. So he's going to get a bit of touches, hopefully.
Look,
yeah.
You go, Bully. Sorry.
I think that's the worst game we've seen from Tannehill and that Tennessee offense in, I don't know, this is coming into 2.5 years as the starter.
First game without Arthur Blank as the offensive coordinator in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably happy to wait another week or two. I think that organization has enough going on that they'll sort it out. But, like, if you're panicking on Derrick Henry, then you have to panic on AJ Brown, Tannehill, and Julio.
I don't think you have to. It's very, very different. Like talking about a 27-year-old running back versus a 24-year-old wide receiver or a 31-year-old quarterback.
Well, I don't think
it's the same. I'm talking about from a dynasty point of view, like dynasty value, like that kind of view, mate. I don't think they're one and the same.
But like, I think if you're panicking because they're going to go away from Henry's volume, then you need to panic because I don't know whether the rest of that offense can carry it.
If you're panicking, mate, I'll take Julio Jones for cheap in the Devy League.
Collusion, you heard it right here on Air Guys.
Very
collusion.
Cheap. Collusion.
Collusion. As long as I get him in, I'll take him in vinyl worthy, and I won't say anything to anyone.
Mate. My vinyl worthy roster's a mess. Can we fold that league?
Yeah, mine. I won week one, but mine's a mess too. I think I only won because I played you, Benny. But
you beat me, yeah. Mate. You smashed me.
I did. I think it's the first decent win I've had since last year. Like all year, I struggled.
Yeah. I don't think any of us have sorted out that vinyl worthy league.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
I don't know what went wrong there. I don't know what went wrong. Yeah. But and don't steal my guy because you guys know who I'm going to talk about. But who's the one guy after week one that you'd be trying to buy because people might be a bit worried about him? And Bull, I'll let you go first.
For me, I'd be trying to grab any Devonta Smith or Jalen Waddle shares I can. I think with the fact that Chase blew up and overshadowed him, you might be able to get them still without that price bump. But given how well they played in week one, I think you've got that confirmation that what you thought they might be, they are. So I'd be trying to jump on them before they string together another couple of weeks and they start to get into that CeeDee Lamb price bracket.
Okay. All right. I mean, I like that. So what you're saying is buy high on those guys because you think the price is only going to go up, up, up. Yeah?
Yeah.
Pay the price now. Yeah. Get them on your roster because you think, you know, 3 or 4 weeks from now, that price will be infinitely higher.
Yeah, I think we've seen how quickly, you know, you go back a couple of years and DK Metcalf and that class, their price went through the roof. CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Higgins when he was healthy and had a healthy Burrow. Those young wide receivers, their price skyrockets once they put together a few weeks. This could be the last chance to get them.
For me, I'd overpay for Jalen Waddle right now. I'd pay the price plus, you know, I'd pay plus 20-25% to get him on my roster because I think 3 or 4 weeks from now, he's going to be worth a lot more than what I'd be paying today.
Well, your situation's changed.
Even if I paid that big extra.
Your situation's changed too, right? He's Wolfler's. Obviously, he was suspended week one. He's out of the team for personal issues, and the team said they don't know when he's going to come back. So he's got a little bump in production there. Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, if you're going to buy high.
Matt, who's the guy that you're
looking to buy after week one? I've made a couple of offers just for Trey Sermon, just because, you know, I still believe in him. I still have a bit of a value. Talk's a little bit overhyped. You know, it could be Hasty could come in and be the lead. So I've shot a couple of offers out, just a couple of seconds. Haven't had any bites yet. Maybe he struggles again week two and people will buy for a second. So, you know, if you've got a second there, I'd be trying to make that move every day. I don't know if you're going to get it. I'm targeting.
If you're a contender and you know you're going to have that back end second, definitely float it out for Sermon because he's going to get his shot. He's going to get an opportunity at some point, right? Especially now that Mostert's hurt.
Yeah, look, I think so. If he can stay healthy, you know, he had a good run. And possibly, you know, if he strings together those two or three games, you could flip him for more pretty quickly. Yeah. We were saying earlier, whoever gets hot there gets the pill and they're going to score, you know, a few points. So that's a move I'm looking
for. Yeah.
For me, and this is super flex move, super flex dependent, but for me, it's Baker Mayfield. I think if you looked at his fantasy line from week one, people would be really, really disappointed because, you know, no touchdowns, one interception. But if you watch the game, he was magnificent against the Chiefs. He played really, really well, just in full control of that offense. And I think the touchdowns will come. You know, regression to the mean is a real thing. And the touchdowns will come, and it looks like the yards will be there this year. And I think he's got a really great shot at, you know, 4,300, 4,400 yards, 25, 30 touchdowns, regression to the mean. By back now, he looked really, really good. Really good. 21 to 28, 11.5 yards per attempt. And that was without Odell. And people are talking, like imagine that offense with Odell Beckham in the Anthony Schwartz debacle. You know, a healthy Adele. Like, that's exciting. And you know what? I'm going to pound the table one more time for my guy because he caught a bit of flack. But Tua was playing the New England Patriots in week one. Brian Belichick, weeks to prepare, right? I think if, look, I'm not saying that I've done the research, but I think if you went back and looked at quarterbacks against week one of the NFL season against Brian Belichick, I don't think their performances would be really good. Bill Belichick with weeks to prepare. I think if you looked at versus Patriots week one or Patriots coming off a bye when they got weeks to prepare against their opponents, like the quarterbacks overall have struggled. I think Tua had a solid game. You know, 202 yards, one touchdown, 16-27, and he really I thought he showed poise and leadership against a very good New England Patriots front.
Yeah, he started to look a little bit more confident as well. I think he took off there for a run midway through maybe the second or the third, and he looked confident again, which was a big thing for me. Like I think you've probably still got a little bit of this season to buy him. I don't think they'll hit their straps until midway through the season. But I think he's one that you'll see as a starter long term. I think he's a high end QB2, back end QB1, similar in range to what you're probably going to get from Baker. But if you build together two or three of those QBs on your team, that allows you to not worry about that in the long term in Superflex, which allows you to go and get your Saquons and the likes of that.
Well, I think he had a good game, not a great game, right? But you know, some of these players, these rookie players, we have them on such a, not rookie, but second year players, we have them on such a high standard that we don't have to other vets. You know, he throws one bad pass and all of a sudden he's a bust. Well, you'll see, you know, Dak do that or Brady do that sometimes, and we give him the benefit of the doubt. So I think sometimes, like you said, it is, I'm not sure if it's a good offense, but it's definitely a good coach and they've got a good scheme, right? So obviously they're going to struggle against that, but.
Excited for that. General, what other takeaway? Did you guys have any other takeaways from week one of the season?
Just going back to what you said earlier on Bayern Baker. I think when you said by now, we mean right now, like today, because they're playing Houston, right? Have a big game. But yeah, look, I think it'd be interesting to see how Josh Allen goes. Week two, I thought Steelers played really well. That defense played really, really well. Should be pretty happy that they were able to keep them to, what was it, 13 points? So they're always legit in like a playoff team again.
If you get an opportunity to buy low on a quarterback, buy low on a quarterback. I have destroyed my Will Ferrell team trying to get quarterbacks on it. Like, it's ruined now. I ruined it. I traded Godwin. I traded Chris Godwin for Deshaun Watson, right? And then a week before he got hurt, I love this trade at the time, I traded Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp for Baker and Travis Etienne. Now, I was I had to retool after year one because it wasn't a championship team.
Yeah.
All right. And I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna start now. I've got some good devies coming, right? So just start now. And then a week after I make that trade, ATN gets hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
That killed me. And then I had Akers get hurt in that league. Then I traded Akers to you for Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Not JT, Jaden. I think it's the Arizona State University quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, he looks like a good college quarterback, but now I'm not even sure if he's going to get drafted, but we'll see.
Well, he'll definitely get drafted. He'll get drafted, maybe not first round, but he's going to get drafted. So.
He's going to get drafted. He had a really good game last week, 300 total yards, 120 yards rushing. He looks a bit on the lean side, man. But I guess if Lamar Jackson can go out and play in the NFL, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. No, I think I'm pretty happy with some of the moves that I made in Will Ferrell this offseason. I think I probably need to make one more to grab a genuine wide receiver one.
That Russell Gage trade doesn't look very good, mate.
That Falcons offense doesn't look very good.
Yeah, but that Russell Gage trade, oh, mate, you paid through the roof. But,
Early days.
But,
They were terrible. Maybe Matt Ryan's a bit better.
Yeah. I can't see that offense being that bad week in, week out. Like, there's enough weapons there that they'll start to put it together. So we'll see how it goes from there. But I'm probably a wide receiver one away from me saying, all right, my pick is the 112. I put up the high score this week, but that was with Gesicki and Gage both laying a donut. So
exciting, bully.
Yeah.
But, I got to talk about this game, and I can't believe I almost overlooked it. But the Jets Panthers game, that was one of the games I was excited about because it had a lot of a lot of questions to be answered for people's fantasy value. And man, Sam Darnold looked really good in that game. Not overwhelming statistically, but just 24 for 35. Just everything about him in that offense under Jalen Barty, his mechanics and everything, he just looked different. And
He looked like what we saw coming out.
Yeah, I'm excited. Look, I'm excited to see how we can evolve in that offense. DJ Moore looked really good. McCaffrey's back. McCaffrey is back. Terrace Marshall is the third wide receiver there. I mean, Moore, Anderson, Marshall, McCaffrey. I mean, that's weapons galore. And my boy Corey Davis on the Jets, five touchdowns, 97 yards, two TDs, and people are saying, oh, it's just, you know, he only had seven of Zach Wilson's 36 targets, but, sorry, 37 attempts. But look, I think more weeks than not, he's going to be the target hog in that offense. I'm not even worried about Crowder coming back. I think that he got those targets when the game mattered, right? And I was saying that his floor, he was being drafted as wide receiver three. His floor is back end, is wide receiver two. And his ceiling is, you know, low end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two. So Corey Davis is finally going to do it after 4 years. Been pounding the table for him. This just proves that if you keep saying it, eventually you'll be right.
And yeah.
You'll be right for one game at least anyway. Right?
And look, a little IDP nugget. Shaq Thompson went out of his mind. And now with enough talent around him on that offense, I think he could put together a really, really special year at linebacker and just be a monster for IDP. Anyway, onwards and upwards. Week two, what are we looking forward to?
I mean, there's a few games I'm keen to see. Obviously, staying in the division, Jets Patriots this week should be a solid game. We get to see two of those rookies go against each other, which I think has the potential to be a long term rivalry between Mac and Zach. I think it's going to be an interesting one where Packers play Lions this week as well, from memory. And I think if Aaron Rodgers underperforms there, given what we saw that Lions team do in week one, then it is time to hit panic stations. They're probably the two big ones for me this week.
I can't see Aaron Rodgers having a bad game against that Lions defense. It's got no talent. Outside of, you know, Akuda.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
I'm looking forward to the Cowboys. They're playing Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, if Dak can go off like that and Tampa, give him another week, a bit more confidence. Really looking how he plays against a little bit of weaker defense. And also Zeke, too, I think back one.
Zeke RB1, you heard it here first from @FFDonut.
A RB1, not the RB1. And a happy one. Look, I think they're not going to throw out 58 times, I don't think. It's going to be a high-scoring game still, but I think that just gives Zeke a little bit of a bounce.
Look, I really want to see New Orleans and Carolina. I want to see both those teams again. I want to see if Darnold can put together another game, if Winston can put together another good game. So definitely eyes on that one. Tennessee at Seattle. Seattle's offense looked really, really good under their new offensive coordinator. I want to see if that continues. And I want to see if Tennessee can get back on track.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Tannehill has, you know, he's firmly QB1 for me this season. So I just want to see if he can get back on that QB1 track. And Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, what can they do?
Yeah.
Interesting to see who takes over the Ravens backfield as well, forward too. They've signed 600 backs as well. So I think there's a little bit of hate in Tyson Williams for missing a block, but that's on him. So who leads that backfield?
Yeah, he had a solid line.
Yeah.
One thing I just have to mention, just quickly going back to week one, the Jerry Jeudy injury, devastating. Just I know it's not a season ender, so I'm happy from that perspective, but he just looked so good, and then he got hurt, so that made me sad.
Yeah. So, Teddy Bridgewater made my Cortland Sutton share sad.
Maybe they'll be bounced back now that Judy is hurt, but
it's hard to tell after injury too, right? After selling
out. Yeah. Look, I think Sutton will be fine, but I just don't think in PPR he's ever going to be the kind of target hog to finish as a wide receiver one. I don't think the receptions are ever going to really be there for him. He's always going to be that kind of, you know, 70 to 80 reception kind of guy for 1,100, 1,200 yards. He's never going to be the guy who's getting the 100 receptions, right?
Yeah, My concern with Bridgewater, like, I don't think I started Sutton anywhere last week unless I desperately had to. And my concerns were there that Teddy's just not willing to push the ball downfield. And I think that's what we saw in week one. Like, I think that was Sutton's second or third worst game for his career. So it's not an ideal start.
No, I mean, if I'm looking at the bottom, I mean, Judy had a long catch at 20 receptions. Fan had a long of 25. Hamler had a long of 22.
So yeah, but I think there was a lot of yak.
I don't know. I'm just looking at the box scores, but
yeah, I think for Patrick's and Judy's, they were both slant routes that were caught at about the 6 yard and taken for.
Okay,
I think Hamler dropped a wide open 50 yard touchdown.
Yeah,
he beat everyone and just hit his.
Bridgewater looked good though. He looked as good as I've seen.
He looked better than I thought he would. I still hope Drew Lock takes over, just shares in Sutton and Fan and whatnot. But he did look good. Bridgewater, happy has another couple of good games, so I can sell him. I got him in a couple.
How do we feel given that Albert O is eating into a little bit of Fant's target share at the moment? Like we saw leading up to the injury last year.
Fant got eight targets, mate. I don't think Albert O's eating into his target share. I think I think he just happened to be open and he got a target. I wouldn't say that Albert's eating into his target share. I haven't got the snap count in front of me, but if I looked at it, Fant played a crap load of snaps.
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether there's enough volume in that offense to support, you know, everyone. Or does that mean we need to look? Because they were building Albert into that offense last year prior to the injury. And week one, we saw him come out and be involved again.
I think, you know, I mean, a lot of teams, they have two tight ends out there, right? And Albert's a big, talented guy as well. But he hasn't got the verticality as a receiver is what Fant does. Like Fant can move all over the formation. Fant can play in the slot. Albert can't play in the slot. He's just too big. I don't think he can play in the slot. But I mean, I've got it up here now. Fant played 77% of the snaps. Albert played 56% of the snaps. So
I think it's good for Albert, right?
Yeah, I think it's good for Albert, but I don't think it's bad. When he went there,
we thought it was a bad landing. Probably still is, but it was nice to see him get in a two tight end league or something like that. Startable.
I like Albert's talent, man. Albert's a talented guy too. And
he's 260 odd pounds and running 4.5, I think, from memory.
He ran a 4.5. I just don't think he's got the wiggle to, you know, to play wide receiver. You know, but he can stretch the seam though. But he can't go to the slot like a Fander or a Hockenson.
No. Yeah.
Well, before we knock off for the day, anything else you guys want to touch on?
Mark Ingram look good. Come buy him off me in Dynasty Underdog before he turns into a pumpkin.
Three yards in a cloud of dust, Mark Ingram.
I think he must have been an RB1, wasn't he? 26 carries and almost 100 yards.
Before he turns into a pumpkin, so probably in the next 24 hours then, mate. All right.
Could be.
All right. Paulie, I'll give you a Devi third for Julio Jones.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm going to send it anyway. This is a fuck you. All right. All right. Well, if that's all.
Yep.
Before we go, I've got to let everybody know that today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com. You go to spot for sports content. And at FF Doormat, can you tell us about the Patreon? What's tier one for the Patreon?
My tier one for the Patreon is $3. It gets you access to the T2T group chat. It's on Discord. That chat's blowing up all the time because it's zone chats, people all over the world. Tier two is $5, gets you early access to the waiver wire episodes, entry into the listener league. So
that's for next year.
That's a goal right there. You're ahead just by getting that. And then tier three, next year, obviously. And then tier three, $10 a month to get the one-on-one.
But tier three gets you free entry into the Frankenstein League, whereas tier two just gets you the entry.
True. Free entry.
Free entry.
tier three for a price of a latte in Melbourne, $10. That's not bad, really.
Latte's not fun. Maybe in Melbourne, $10. You can get two lattes for $10, mate. All right.
One of those deconstructed lattes.
They're good lattes.
I'm a flat white guy. Don't give me that froth. I'm not for the froth. And just so everybody knows, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Facebook, Toilets and Tubs, When a Family Breaks, and of course Spotify, one of my favorite platforms. So, yeah. And you can find me on Twitter at Life from the Ben. You can find at Matt on Twitter at FFDoormat. And Mark Bull is at Mark Bull is here. Come to us, add us, ask us any fantasy questions you want. We're always happy to answer and just engage with people. And thanks, everybody, for their time. Anyway, peace out.